Moving on to item 11, presentation of semi-annual disability report, retirement report. Knocking on that door myself. All right, Tim, you have the stage.
Okay, this is just an informational report for the board. The last time that a semi-annual update was presented was for the first 6 months of 2017. We did that at the September 13th meeting. And now what the current report is being updated for the last 6 months of the year. If you look at Exhibit 1, you'll see that in 2017, a total of 27 disability applications were accepted. Overall, in the last 6 months of the year, it was 11. So we had 16 applications in the first 6 months, 11 in the second 6 months of the year. The breakdown for the second 6 months of the year, six of them were service-connected applications from safety members, and then we also have five non-service-connected disability applications. So far in 2018, I know we had a couple of months, I think it was November and December, and possibly January, we did not have any applications come in, but year to date, we've accepted five disability applications, just kind of where we are halfway through March for this year. On diagram 2 and 3 on page 3, it gives a breakdown of where the applications are coming from. One thing to note is the Exhibit 2 chart is listed by employer, so the county is in grouped together within that number. San Ramon Fire, comparable year over year. In 2016, they had two applications. In 2017, they had four applications. And we were not talking, I mean, it's a 100% increase, but it's still not a huge number. The county actually went down from 19 applications to 14 applications. Of note for the county is the sheriff. In 2016, the sheriff, we received 10 applications, and in 2017, only two applications were received from the sheriff. On page 4, Exhibit 4 is a breakdown of the type of injuries that are being reported on the applications. As has been in prior years, since 2013 all the way through 2017, you'll notice it's the lighter green color, which is our muscular skeletal injuries. And that continues. In 2017, 63% of the applications were for that type of injury. Then on page 5, on exhibit 5, gives a breakdown again from the employers and the type of injuries that are being reported. As you know, noted earlier, that it's the MSK increase, and we'll see San Ramon having 4 for the year, Contra Costa County for the county 7, and then on the back in Exhibit 6 is the breakdown, and you'll see the probation department had an increase in their MSK, and you'll note again the sheriff were showing a significant decrease from 10 total applications in 16 to only 2 in 17. So that's a recap where we are today. We're probably working on approximately anywhere from 35 to 40 open cases. A lot of them, a majority are hearings, and they're related to the Tier 3 substantial gainful employment, which is, again, not surprising, but those are the ones that generally go to hearing. Great, that's it. Any questions? Any questions?
Good.
Thank you. These are just, is a report on the applications?
Yes.
we want to see more on the approval side, how many have actually been awarded or granted their application?
I can, if you would like, we can add a sheet on what's granted year over year. I mean, we're normally, the board is granting anywhere from, I would say, the low 20s to the mid-20s are granted. However, then there is a group that go to the medical advisor that, based upon the information, you know, under the tier three or under the medical information provided, that their denials, based upon what was submitted, such as what we discussed kind of earlier today with one of our cases.
Say, any single, maybe not single page, but any kind of a showing of that, I think we'd want both. We'd want granted and not granted, and probably a jail and not, so you'd have a picture.
That, and also I'd be interested in knowing, you know, the average amount of time it takes from the point of applying till the point of decision-making.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of an interesting one to kind of put your arms around, because we will have, in some cases, applications will flow through rather quickly. But we're dependent upon getting the information. Once the application comes in, we'll receive normally a note from a physician or their treating physician that they're disabled and cannot perform their job duties. However, it may, depending upon its non-service, it is then up to the member to go get their medical records and provide them to us. We've also had, well, instances where it's risk management or the work comp carrier and getting the documentation from them, and then responses from the employer where we talk, you know, ask them questions about the individual, and, you know, a lot of the, you know, get to accommodation and questions. And so there are, we can look at someone applying and they have 30 days to provide us medical information. In a lot of cases, in most cases, they ask for an extension, and it could then run out 90 days. I mean, we have an individual that has been asking, that has told us he's going to supply more medical information for, I believe, we're hitting a year now. And every time we contact him, reach out to him, he goes, no, I'm still going to supply you with more medical information before you go to the medical advisor.
Is there statute of limitations on how long they can string it out before they, you have to say no more?
Normally, we want the medical information within the 30 days, but if we know, it's sometimes it's a challenge to get the information. We do grant a longer period of time for them to provide it.
So that's a policy decision by the board, not statute?
Correct.
Right.
And then, you know, and then we have had instances, you know, one that I'm familiar with from one of our districts, the person applied for their disability, provided the doctor's note, time went by, no response, we reached out, and the person was not responding to us, we returned the application to them. They came back 30 days later, resubmitted their application, again, and, you know, I think it was the third time before they actually provided the medical to support the application they provided to go to the medical advisor.
Is that the only occasion that comes to mind, Tim, where we actually said we're cutting the process off because you've not responded timely and here's the application back?
No, it happens on occasion. We also end up with individuals that will submit late applications where, you know, as long as they're still an active, in this case, the individual, the member, is still an active, non-working but active employee with the employer, they can apply. We do have individuals where someone will retire. Say they retire on January 1st. And they come back to us 6 months later. Now, we're not talking about a presumption. They'll come back to us 6 months later and go, well, now I want to apply for a disability. And in that case, we'll make a determination on the timeliness of the, you know, application, whether or not they were incapacitated and could not file the application, or it was just something, you know, we've had discussion where maybe they talked to a coworker or a colleague and it may have come up in a discussion on, you know, they're going through this process. But it does happen occasionally on getting the medical information.
Are these labor codes or 1937 Act, several things you follow, or both?
We're following the CSERA, I refer to Karen also, the CSERA policy.
Do we follow labor codes or something like that, and CSERA, or is it strictly CSERA that gives us these sort of rules?
These rules are governed by CSERA.
Yeah, like the substantial gainful employment, but we also have our own, you know, the policies so, and so forth that the board established.
And also, with a, you'd mentioned the average turnaround time of disability applications and all that. Also factored in there is if we receive incomplete applications, obviously, you know, that can
delay.
But you may remember a few months ago, we talked a little bit about customer service and some of the things that we were putting in place. And it's our intent to have kind of a semi-annual update to the board. So we're going to be coming back in a few months and talking about some of the survey results. And obviously, when you talk about customer service, you need to be able to measure certain things to see where, oh, this, there's a bottleneck here that we need to fix and change this or do that. So there have been some additional things there.
And that's what crossed my mind. And, you know, when you look at the different reasons for disability here, I don't know if there's a trend for, again, if it's service or non-service, for each of these types of disabilities. And, you know, if somebody were to come in and apply today for service-connected disability and said it was for a psychiatric incapacitation, you might have a history of cases like that you've dealt with before, and the trend shows that it's going to take on average 2 years.
You
know?
Oh, I got you.
I don't know if that's helpful for on the administrative side or even for the person who's applying to just be aware this is going to take some time as opposed to not expecting it tomorrow to settle.
And that's something that we, because a lot of folks do come in and, you know, they drop off their application and, you know, they might take a picture like, oh, today's the day, you know, I'm going to get my check next month. And, you know, we are careful to talk to them about what the process entails and what that time frame is going
to
look like.
Yeah, the process is explained to them when they come in. But it's normally when the initial process, we're talking about going to the medical advisor, it's if it goes to the medical advisor and the medical advisor makes a determination or a recommendation of denial or no, and then it goes to a hearing. The hearing process, such as we were, you know, went through today, can turn into a very long process on getting it scheduled, getting the medical advisors, whether or not, I mean, in the one example today, we went back to, I think it was December, and to have some more analysis done and a second hearing, and here we are almost, what, 14 and a, well, probably 15 months later, it's back. But there were a number of issues because you also are working, if you go to a hearing, you've got to work with the Office of Administrative Hearing and get it scheduled. The scheduling has to work with the applicant as well as with CSERA and legal counsel.
That's helpful to me. And it sounds like it's not realistic to do a trend analysis on each type of, it would just be time consuming and really, in the end, doesn't predict on average.
Yeah, no, it's not like, oh, it's psychiatric, that's going to be five, you know.
Right. Okay, so. Each one is almost unique on its own.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And if you do, you know, if we have one that it's, say it's a terminal, you know, those are getting, you know, fast tracked through as much as possible.
And it does, you know, because we're not just talking about the member turning in documents as well. You know, it's also the employer getting information to us and, you know, getting those reports from the doctors and
scheduling the meal.
But I think it is helpful to have some sort of baseline understanding of what that looks like and what are we doing to try and shorten that and provide good communication.
Further, thanks. Okay, thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.